Hey guys, welcome to the second episode of the Teen Tech Podcast with your hosts Paul and Glenn. Actually, today we have, a treat for you guys, for lack of a better term. We have a guest host. Will, introduce yourself.
Hello, I am Willie. Yep, I'm Willie.
He's going to be guest hosting with us.
Great to have you on the show.
Great to have you here. I can think of a couple different terms that I can use to describe myself, but okay.
Hopefully he'll be in some later episodes with us, but we'll see how this goes. And so if you guys are ready, we can get into the show. I'll go first. All right. Microsoft, their Xbox 360, they have a new feature for in the marketplace. They're offering older video games, such as like the original Pac-Man and the original Frogger. They're saying like 1980s era games and through the Xbox Live Arcade, and you can download free trials of the games, or you can buy them from $5 to $15. And I got a bunch of friends who have done this, and sounds like it's a pretty good deal, because you get to play the older games and have a bunch of fun with it. So,
doesn't Wii do something similar to that, except with their old Nintendo games?
Yeah. When it comes out, I think they're gonna have a thing.
That's what we've heard, at least, so.
Yeah, where, like, you could download, print all the old Nintendo games.
That's what I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah, but there's a lot of sites that are bringing back the older games for free or minimum cost.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah. Well, like GameTap.com.
Yeah.
Free plug.
Yeah.
You owe us $1 million, GameTap. All right, Glenn.
All right. My first topic is on Blingo. If you haven't heard of it, Blingo is a Google-powered search engine with a twist. It's just like a search engine, just like Google, but with each search on Blingo, you have a chance to win a prize. Every day, they pick a bunch of random winning times, like you could just be searching around and Blingo will pick a time, and the first person to search after the winning time wins instantly. The winner then tells Blingo where to send the prize, and so basically all you have to do is do a search and hope to get lucky.
That's cool. At Blingo.com?
Blingo.com. We'll have the link in the show notes if you're dyslexic or whatever.
Congratulations. Want a bar of soap?
No, they were giving away stuff like a movie, a lot of movie stuff. Passes and iTunes gift cards and even a iPod Nano, so.
And it's every day, right? They're just giving out stuff.
Every day. Yesterday they gave out 24 prizes. So,
and what you're telling me, like if I refer somebody and then that person gets something, then both the people get the prize.
Right. Yep. So if you you can sign up on there with your username, and signing up for yourself doesn't really do anything. But if you invite a friend and they sign up, and if you do that and they win, they can refer you so that you get the prize. So it's pretty cool.
Do you have to pay to be applicable for the prizes?
Nope, you don't. All you have to do is tell them where to send the prize, and they'll send it to you.
All right.
You do have to be 18 or over, but
I'm closest.
Yeah.
Tell your parents to just do it for you, or if you win, which you probably won't, unfortunately. So it shouldn't be an issue, but.
Thank you for the vote of confidence.
No problem. Alright, go ahead, buddy.
Alright, this is about the electronic passports that they are going to be issuing out soon. Imagine being overseas and your identity being available for taking. Your nationality, your name, your passport number, everything. That's the fear of privacy and security specialists now that the State Department plans to issue e-passports to American travelers beginning in late August. They'll have radio frequency identification, RFID tags, that are meant to cut down on human error of immigration officials, speed the process of visitors, and safeguard against counterfeit passports. Yet critics are concerned that the security benefit of RFID technology, which combines silicone chips and antennas to make data accessible via radio waves, could be vastly outweighed by security threats to the passport holder. So basically, everyone's going to get a little electronic print of all the information that they have available that can be semi-easily skimmed off of them.
So, it's going to be a card that they get?
Well, I saw something like...
What it is it's built into the passport. You know, like those security ID cards that you see in movies and such where they just like hold it up to a wall and it scans it?
Yeah.
It's sort of like that, but with passport.
That's good. But the thing about that, though, is if somebody gets a hold of a scanner and they walk next to you, they could like pick up all your information pretty easily, though.
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
Yeah,
that there's more on the topic a little bit later on, telling about all the easy, how easy it is to just skim all that information off.
But if like, they're going to do this, they're going to have tons of security measures and stuff.
Yeah, I know, that's what I was thinking too. But I mean, they said that all it needs to skim it off is like something the size of a briefcase that has a rod the length of it to catch up on the waves that it emits.
Well, I'm sure this is like still in the beta testing, so they probably still have a lot of kinks.
It's, you know? It's supposed to be out by August.
Oh,
late
really?
August. Yeah.
That's cool.
A couple more weeks.
All right.
Well, late August.
Oh, right.
This story from Los Angeles. It goes, starstruck fans of Paris Hilton can party with the socialite actress this summer, at least on their cell phones. Gameloft, a game maker for cell phones, releases its latest mobile game to tap into in public yearnings for a piece of their idols' lives. So pretty much, I don't have much information on the game, but there's going to be a game that's going to have Paris Hilton in it. What it's going to be about, I have no idea.
This already sounds like a disaster.
Well, trust me.
Do you think it's going to be involving her number being stolen?
That was hilarious when her sidekick got hacked and all those numbers got released. That was
New game. Track down the guy that distributed her tapes.
Why would we want to play that game, though?
I don't know. Get a preview of the tape?
Oh, man. Moving on. So, Windows Vista. If you haven't heard, the new Windows operating system, Windows Vista, is not set for release until next January. But there is finally a public beta release out, if you haven't seen it or whatever. In this beta, users see that there is more improved security, dramatic improvements in the tools that can help you cope with the information overload, and a new, sleeker design. With semi-transparent windows, it gives users a more 3D experience. Task switching is easier than ever with previews and descriptions of the files currently open. Mousing over a minimized window will give you a description and a live thumbnail of whatever you have open. A new start menu integrates searching, making searching for files even easier. So it's going to have like a little bar right above the start button where you can just search for stuff and it'll give you a list of live files on your computer. New gadgets or widgets make the desktop more user-friendly, and the public beta also comes out with the new Internet Explorer version 7, which has more security features and also tab browsing, which sounds like they're finally trying to catch up to Mozilla Firefox, which is, you know, the best browser ever.
Go ahead, Paul.
Okay. It's kind of interesting. Well, if the public beta too, it's been closed. So if you haven't gotten it already, you lucked out. Yeah.
I downloaded it.
I would look up some screenshots on it, because if you're using XP now, which the percentages that you are, you're gonna probably upgrade. And
yeah.
It's better. It's a step up from XP. It's becoming. It's better.
Yeah, but go ahead, buddy.
To me right now, the Vista sounds like it's trying to catch up to Mac with its improved search engine and all its other stuff that it has built into it now. Like the little thumbnail thing it's got. Mac already has a spotlight that even looks for pictures that resemble the letters that you write in there. Like if you had Yosemite ran on picture, it would actually find that and bring it up, and that sounds like that's what Windows is doing as well.
Well, it's the user demand. Like, people, they want more user-friendly, they want more features, and this is just Windows and Microsoft just stepping up to that bar.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be more wanted by the more professional type, because A drawback to the beta in Vista is that it's only compatible with some computers. Only about half of America's computers will be able to install it.
Oh, really?
Because of the new 64-bit processing, you know, requirements.
So just the newer computers.
Yeah,
that's
because
it's really harsh.
Yeah, well, it uses that new transparent look, which, you know, utilizes most of the new, or needs most of the, you know, faster processor.
So what's your story?
Oh, my turn?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Okay. This story is about video games being in the Olympics. Owen, who runs the Global Gaming League, a media company focused on the lifestyle and culture of gaming, is currently talking with the Chinese government in hopes of bringing competitive video gaming to the 2008 games as a demonstration sport. Admittedly, it's an uphill battle. Even if you can look past the lack of physical skills necessary, oh come on, those thumbs are in major demand, to play video games, the Olympics haven't had any sort of demonstration sport since 1992, and Olympic experts say there has been no movement to bring them back. Well, the only reason why there's been no movement is because video games probably weren't as grabbing as they are now. The involvement's increased, the visuals have increased. It's just all around better.
Yep. what kind of games do you think they would put in this? Like, racing games or like first person shooters? What do you think?
Halo.
Yeah. Well, right now, Major League Gamers, what they're sponsoring is Super Smash Brothers and Halo 2.
Yeah, that sounds like what's going to be majorly. Might get a little bit of.
Well, that's if this even happens, which right now, my screensaver just went on. Alright. That's if this even happens. So, we'll see. I mean, 2008 was the...
2008 Olympics.
So that's 2 years. We'll probably see more as this comes along, because you're going to have one big group of pushing, do this demonstration sport, but then you're going to have the whole Olympic committee going, no.
Yeah, well, see, the thing is that... also, it states in here that the Olympics aren't being viewed as much because it's just all athletic aimed. And if you look at today's society, everyone is into video games and all that kind of stuff. So if you can get that in there as an Olympic sport, you know, people might watch. It's like, oh, did you just see that guy's head get blown the hell off? I mean, man, look at those graphics. Yeah. I want one of those. So not only would you be drawing more attention to the sports... I don't know how many of you guys would want to watch the 400-meter dash after a Halo battle. but draw a little bit more attention to that, and also it would boost sales for all the gaming systems.
Well, I could see it. Well, you said, you know, the amount of people watching the Olympics has gone down, but if they do put this in, I could see it going back up with the crowd that didn't used to watch it because of all the athletic stuff. So
yeah,
there would be a whole new crowd watching it, which, you know, would be the one that's pushing to try to get it in.
Because actually, what they're doing now, I think South Korea, is they have channels that are dedicated video game channels, where it's just people playing video games.
Well, that's not fair.
It sounds kind of like really goofy at first, but I mean. It might be cool to watch this for a little bit because see how another person plays. Because like, if you really want to get good at pretty much just about any game, you want to learn from other people and like learn how they play and watch like if they know anything that you don't.
Mm-hmm. I wonder how it chooses the people who to watch. I wonder if it does it like randomly or...
I have no idea.
We'll look into that. Back to you next episode.
The next story. it's actually, speaking of video games, a survey says that about 35% of parents are gamers. Actually, I don't know about you guys, but I actually have a good friend of mine who his dad is an avid player. Not an avid player, but he goes on, he does Halo 2.
Yeah.
Right. And a sign that video games are becoming more popular as family entertainment, a national survey released Thursday indicates that joysticks aren't just for kids. 35% of parents said that they play video games with their children. And this is a survey by the Entertainment Software Association. It's a video game industry group. So it's pretty much the story just about how modern times, parents playing with their kids, which I think that's kind of cool, because since more kids now are becoming more gamers, it's I guess a bonding type thing you could do with your kids. something for the parents and kids to talk about. And I guess it's kind of good because there's so many parents now who Grand Theft Auto, they're trying to ban video games, but now the parents kind of know what their kids are playing.
Well, there's some that...
mine away.
There's some that are for it, and then others that are, like, super against it. Like, as soon as I told my parents, like, oh yeah, I'm playing Grand Theft Auto, they're like, which one is it? Because, I mean, between San Andreas and Vice City, it just sort of gave gaming in a whole a bad name to parents. Because when they think of it now, they think of sex, violence, carjacking, and bad influence on their kids.
Isn't that what the game is, though?
But see, I'm not going to go out because of a game, go hijack a car, grab an Uzi, and go spray down some cops.
See, that's the difference, though, is that you have the people who, like, there's the whole arguments in Congress now trying to get video games banned, where it's a video game, I guess, will assist the person, but usually when you give a violent person a violent video game, that's, I mean, none of us are violent people. We have all played our share of shoot 'em up type games.
Yep.
And
I don't go around shooting people. I don't know about you guys, but it's just, it's really, it's the type of person who plays the game.
Yeah.
All right, Glenn, you go start.
Yes, I do. All right, so this one is back to Apple.
That's right.
Oh, man, you know, just because you guys are Apple freaks.
My dad worked for it.
Exactly. Oh, I just dropped my iPod. Los Angeles. Apple is talking with most of Hollywood studios to offer more downloads via its popular iTunes Music Store website to download movies. iTunes might begin offering film downloads by the end of 2006, but currently a price on iTunes is a sticking point in negotiations. Excuse me. Apple Chief Executive Officer Steve Jobs is said to want one flat price of $9.99 per movie, where studio executives want a range of prices that mirror videos and DVDs at retail stores that usually run from discount titles at a few dollars to up to $19 or more for new releases. So what it's saying is Apple wants to start having downloadable movies on its iTunes for basically $10. But you know how, like, it'll be a new release and, you know, it usually runs for $15 to $20 at a store. Well, Apple wants to sell it for $10 still, like the flat rate for all its movies.
This is going to be a definite point, too, because, the whole thing is the newer demand, the higher the prices. And so the big movie companies want you. But, I mean, Steve Jobs, I think, is a very good negotiator, because what you saw, he stuck with all the music labels for 99 cents per song when they wanted the higher price for the song. So I think that if anybody can actually pull this off, if it's possible, it's probably going to be Steve Jobs and Apple.
And also, you're going to find people that are going to, like, find a movie they really like and want to take it everywhere with them. So they're going to get for their iPod, they're going to buy it on DVD, they're going to get it for their computer, I don't know, just to get it every way possible. And now not only does Apple benefit from it, but so does the company. When iPod brought in the TV shows to download, the broadcasting companies just went crazy over it, because it's a double profit area, because not only do they get for the people that watch it, but now they also get for people who liked it so much that they download it. And Apple keeps, like, 25 cents, I think, from each movie download.
They don't really make that much money.
No, they don't.
Off of the thing. But they make enough with all the songs that they sell.
Yeah.
But then I heard, too, that the iTunes Music Store actually has helped a bunch of TV shows that they weren't doing so good when they were on the network, but when they were put into the music store. How the loyal fans just bought it up, and they, I guess, I think a couple shows, they renewed a season because they saw that it was popular enough with people. I don't know what shows, though. I think I just heard it somewhere.
Lost was a big one that people downloaded.
Yeah, it was already pretty popular, though.
Oh, yeah. But...
I sort of fell out of Lost.
Yeah, now going into the entertainment section, to me, it kind of turned away from what it was.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah. It just got so, like, you had to follow each episode that I didn't have time for.
All right, so
it got so many layers.
Alright, well, what's your story, man?
Alright, this one is about, I'm going to sum it up because it's a whole bunch of pieces all over this page, but what it is Nike signed with iPod to create a exercise tractor. Basically what it is it turns your Nano into a personal workout coach with the Nike iPod Mix. The wireless sensor and receiver combination works exclusively with your Nike shoes and iPod Nano to give you real-time feedback during workouts and let you track your performance on your Mac or PC. So you put this little chip that works as a pedometer on your foot, and then you have a little wireless transmitter that's plugged into your iPod Nano, wherever that may be. And what it does is it tracks your motion. You can start a timer on it. It checks how far you've gone, and it even checks the distance in between each pace you have. Like if you're jogging, it'll tell you how far your pace is when you're jogging. It keeps track of your laps. It does pretty much everything you want to do when you're checking your mileage. Although it doesn't tell you how many calories you're burning.
It's a pretty cool product, but also I think I saw a thing where they have a special shoe where you insert the chip, but people were like, I don't want to buy a new shoe. So this guy really went out, bought some Velcro, Velcroed it underneath the shoelaces, and it worked great. So
yeah, and Velcro's like 25 cents
yeah,
for
25
a piece.
Cents at, yeah, any place. So easily you can modify your current shoes to work with this. And I'm just wondering, but could it work with iPod videos? Because I've been seeing Nano, but
right now all it says is Nano. Probably the reason why for that is that it's the smallest thing with a still compatible screen, and plus the
because the software is the same, really,
well,
for both iPods.
The adapter plug-in that plugs in the app into the iPod to receive the information from the foot is currently only set to work with the base of an iPod Nano, because if you compare it to an iPod video, it's different.
Very.
If anybody has the information about if it worked with the video, you can email us at teentechpodcast@gmail.com.
Or call us on our voice line, which is 206-339-58, and then two other numbers which you can find on our
it doesn't have the number.
I have it right here. 206. Sorry, 206-339-5184.
Or if you know us personally, just come down and slap us around until we get the point.
Yeah, because if you could just please call our voicemail line, you can say that our show sucked. Because we just kind of want to know what you guys think. Because we know the show doesn't sound the best, but we're trying. We're having fun.
We're doing our best. Come on.
All right, next story. YouTube. We talked about YouTube last week, or 2 weeks ago now. YouTube, the leader in internet video search, said on Sunday, viewers are now watching more than 100 million videos per day, making the surge in demand for snack-sized video fit. I don't even want to imagine how much they're paying, like with their servers and stuff.
Oh, man.
Yeah, since springing out of nowhere from late last year, YouTube just kind of exploded, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it did. Gmail's trying to get in on it now.
Yeah, go to Google, and then Yahoo's doing a thing. MySpace is now doing a thing. So I'm pretty much... Yep. YouTube has come to hold the leading position in online video with 29% of the U.S. multimedia entertainment market. It's a good site. It has a good interface. And what I like about YouTube especially is that for some of the websites I used to enjoy, I go on them with my Mac, and they're in the Windows Media Player format, and it's a Mac, and so we're smarter than to use the inferior codec. So YouTube's cool, because it works with everything.
So yes, cool. It does.
I personally don't really use YouTube. I do other things on the internet, but like when my friend posts a video on there, you know, I'll check it out, and I really like the interface and how user-friendly it is, so I think that plays a part in how many hits it gets.
It's a really nice search function, too. Every time I search for something, it's boom, right there, what I wanted to find.
Probably the biggest thing I like about YouTube is the fact that it doesn't start loading up the movie as soon as you get there.
You get to the page... You don't watch 10 seconds and it stops, and you're like, what?
Yeah, well, see, how it works is you get there, and it just shows you, like, this little screen thing on it. First off, it helps you if you misclicked. Because some people, they didn't intend to go to it. It starts loading all of a sudden. If you don't have good internet, it's going to bog down your internet and everything's going to stop. The only downside to it, though, is it takes a little bit longer to download here and there.
Yeah, well, I haven't really had too much issue with that. If you have high-speed internet, I really don't think you can notice that much of a difference.
I have high-speed internet.
All right, well, that was the last story that I had. So
I still have two.
Alright, we'll just go then.
I've got one.
Alright, Microsoft's Media Player. The world's largest software maker has been briefing record companies on the proposed device that would play digital music and video files and carry wireless technology, enabling users to download music without linking to a computer. In addition, Microsoft has had talk about securing licenses to sell digital content for the device. It was unclear if the company intended to argument its augment.
This really puzzled look on your face.
It was unclear if the company intended to augment, which means, you know, take out or replace its existing online music service, MSN Music, or build a new one. I would guess that they incorporate their new media player into Windows Media Player because their thing, you know.
Now, there is one thing I like about that, the wireless part of it. That is...
Alright, the definition of augment from Merriam-Webster.com is to make greater, more numerous, larger, or more intense. It's a verb. It's from Middle English and from Anglo-French.
You're just
good to know. Hey, Mom, I learned what augment means.
Team Petcast, making you smarter every minute.
Yes. Alright, so, Willie, what do you like about it, he said?
The wireless feature to download without actually having to plug it in. That's about it, because pretty much the only time you're going to want to download it anyways is if it's, like, right next to your computer. So, pretty much, it's... To me, I like it, but it's a unnecessary feature.
Well, I mean, especially for me, like, I'll hear a song on the radio and, you know, really like it. But I can never remember once I get home to download it legally from iTunes, you know?
Because remember, you know, kids, download legally, and the RRA won't be at your door.
Yes. So with this new wireless thing, you can just, you know, hear it, and then maybe only have to remember it for 5 minutes until you can find a hotspot, and then download it from there. So.
Or, I'm not sure if it says this later on in there or not, but does it also allow you to connect to a nearby Microsoft player?
Like to share music?
Yeah.
That'd be interesting, yeah. I don't know, because, you know, maybe that would have something to do with all the file sharing, you know, laws, but who knows?
All right. You have one more story, right?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, you want to just quote that?
And don't you have one more?
Yeah, but I like mine for last.
Alrighty then. Okay, the Nintendo Wii may get an early launch. New York. Nintendo has stated numerous times that its next generation video game machine will be less expensive than the competition. Now it appears that it might be on store shelves considerably earlier than many were expecting as well. While Nintendo has not made any formal announcements about the launching date for the Wii, most of the industry has expected the machine to hit retail at approximately the same time as the Sony's PlayStation 3, which is set for November 17th. Now, the industry observers and insiders say they expect the system to be available in October. The company appears to be already manufacturing the final retail units of the Wii. That would give it a significant head start over the Sony, which is yet to begin final manufacturing of the PlayStation 3. So that means that, like, Nintendo's already started,
Just seems kind of like a rumor, doesn't it, that was going around? Because Nintendo hasn't said anything, really.
Well,
just...
it says insiders, so yeah. I think somebody heard about it, but, the Wii has already been...
Technically.
What's up?
I feel cut off. because I'm not done with my story, you guys, come on.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay, thank you. The Wii has already been set for mass production Well, the Sony PlayStation 3 still is not yet, so that means the Wii has a greater jump on it. The Microsoft first Xbox 360 did not roll off the assembly line until last year, 69 days before the initial sale of November 22nd. The late start in production is the root because last holiday's shortages.
Well, because there was also the huge crashing problems with the 360s at first. Which we'll see, like, what happens, because if they're rushing to get out there, if the
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, because if they're rushing to get out there, which actually, because the Wii has had a lot more time than 360, there probably won't be as many program crashes, but like Glenn said, this will give them an advantage over the PS3, which, well, here, actually, well, last week, I'll ask Willie something. I said that I would rather get the Wii, and Glenn said he'd rather get the PS3. Well, if you had a choice, what would you get?
Right now, the only thing I could afford would be the Wii. The PlayStation, I would probably go for only because it still works with all its predecessors, and you don't have to rebuy them. But with the Nintendo Wii, it's got like multiple controller types you can use. You can download them for money. It's got different slots, and all in all, it's just got a lot of stuff just kind of thrown on it that makes it work with others. But that just seems a little bit of overkill to me.
All right, let's finish up the show. Will, what's your last story?
Oh, you're a loser.
Okay, my last story is, I heard about this on a TV show one day, but it was going over a basically online hunting program. You go in there, you sign up, and you pay through PayPal, your credit card, whatever you use, for like 5 hours of game time. You go out there, and let's say you see a deer on the screen. You shoot the deer, whoop-de-doo, you shot a deer. Although with this, you are actually hunting in real life from your home, so you're being lazy. So you shoot the deer, the money that you spent goes towards packing up the deer, and you, lo and behold, 5 hours later, or 5 hours, 5 weeks later, or however long takes it, however long it takes it to get there, you end up with a frozen deer carcass on your front porch. That's going to be kind of weird in the middle of New York, but whatever.
We were going over our stories at first. I mean, does America really need this? To be lazier than we possibly already are?
You can do it from Africa. You can do it from Europe. It's a website.
Mom, so, I just shot a lion. Sweet Johnny. It'll be here in 2 weeks.
I just imagine some crazy little African guy that talks in little clicks telling his mom that he just shot an American deer.
Yeah, with their $2,000 computer, right?
Yeah.
Alright, well, that's the end of the stories that we got.
I have a quick disclaimer. I love all races and nationalities.
Nice. Yeah, same here.
Alright, I thought it would be kind of cool is say the other podcast that we listen to. What I listen to is, it's called Wheezy and the Swish. This Week in Tech, Podtacular, NPR, Wait, Don't Tell Me, a news quiz, it's pretty good. Mac, OS, Ken, Dignation, Chicken Fried Radio, and a podcast called Acorns and Merlot. Then just I check in with Ask a Ninja and some of the other ones. Glenn, what do you listen to?
I listen to, I do more video podcasts, so I am a current subscriber to Happy Tree Friends, the Nike Football Videocast, Yoga Bonito, Podtacular, Strong Bad Emails, and, of course, Tech for Teens. One quick note, all of our podcast names will be on our show notes, so that if you want to check any of these out, you can. So, Will, what do you like to listen to?
All right, I only listen to two or three right now. Strong Bad Emails, Ask a Ninja, and obviously this one. And that's about it for me. But I didn't know that Happy Bunny whatever
Happy
it was.
Happy Tree Friends.
Happy Tree Friends, that was it. All I remember is Suicidal Rabbit. But, yeah. I didn't know they had one, so I'm probably going to be subscribing to that tonight.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, it's a little bit weird, but that's the point of it, right?
Duh.
Cool, so I guess this finishes up the second episode. Woot, woot.
Unless you have any more questions for either of us, guest host, anything.
Yeah, actually, if you want to be a guest host, you could email us at teentechpodcast@gmail.com, and we'll see what we can work out. Glenn, what's our voicemail line?
206-339-5148. That's 206-339-5184.
And please call in. Just leave us a voicemail message. Just
Did
don't
I say
be
4-8? I think I said 4-8 on the first one. It's 8-4, guys.
Just
4?
8-4, yes.
Please leave us a message. Make my case feel good about ourselves. We're very lonely and we have no lives.
And you know what? If you leave us a message, we just might play it on the show. So, you know, that's free PR for you right there.
And actually, when we're done with this, we actually got one voicemail message.
One.
Yeah, and it's actually from somebody that we know in real life. So next time, let's get someone who we don't know. Thanks for listening to this episode of Tech for Teens. We'll see you around.
Wow, that podcast, best thing I've ever listened to in my life. Gotta say, best part was when that Paul dude said we. Dude, I laughed for 20 minutes, even after the podcast is over. My mom asked me what was going on. I was just like, Mom, he said we. Then I got grounded for a month, but it's all right. Teen Tech Podcast owns my soul. Thank you.
This is Glenn.
And guest host Willie.
And this is Paul.
Signing off.
Dun, 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 dun.
This pressure point out of my head. Can't get this pressure point out of my head. Feeling in work, you know I feel it in bed. Can't get this pressure point out of my head. I paid all my bills and I'm acting so well. I ain't been cheating, there's nothing to tell. While this pressure I don't understand, when all of my neighbors I lend them a hand. My bones, well, they toss and they turn. Mother, oh mother, I'm begging you please to rid me of madness and cure this disease. Can't get this pressure point out of my head. I'm feeling in work, you know I'm feeling in bed. Can't get this pressure point out of my head.